news, everyone.
It's Jake Seeley.
And there's a surprise in your cereal box.
Oh, wait, you're serious? Let me laugh even harder.
You know what? You just made the list!
Hooray! People are paying attention to me.
Sure, we talk about it all the time.
Really?
No.
What is up, you ducks? It is All in Football on a special day and time again this week. Family stuff, headed out of town to California, so be out for a while. But Chris Meaney, of course, is here at Chris Meaney. The NCAA tournament is going to be starting long gone, which we might even talk about a little bit of that today and talk about how Blake Snell should have fired Scott Boras 3 weeks ago because I think Scott Boras owes him $100 million because that's ridiculous. But that's not what we're talking about today. We are talking the what we didn't get to last week because there was a lot we did. We basically covered 90% of NFL free agency last week. Yeah. And then that last 10%, there was some pretty, I'd say, eyebrow-raising situations, some quarterbacks, some trades, more trades. This is fun. NFL trades, meaning, like, do you remember an offseason that had this many trades?
No. The offseason that I think of when I look back at wildness was the Jimmy Graham. I think he went to Seattle and Sean McCoy went to Philly.
Yeah.
It was like, it kind of had, like, with Chip Kelly, and it was like, wow, you never really see any trades. And
like, big moves, maybe, like, big names, I should say.
Big names and movement, but this offseason in particular, I mean, what we said last week with all the running backs that have gone and then the quarterbacks and then, you know, Keenan Allen and some other wide receivers as well. So it has been it keeping us busy, and I'm here for it.
I'm here for it, too. I mean, it made it interesting. I usually don't update the dynasty and redraft rankings until after the draft because there's some from the free agency, and mostly I'm working on baseball right now and everybody's getting ready for that. But there was so much that I'm like, I have to this year. Like they're almost like nonsensical. And I looked at them like, wow, like I'm like moving people big time. And some of it was after the moves we even talked about last week. But real quick, did you fill out your NCAA tournament bracket? Did you
loosely filled out the final four. But yeah.
Who's your final four?
I got Marquette in there. I have Marquette. It's actually right here.
Marquette's like good and stuff again. I remember, yeah, like Marquette since like early 2000s. I don't think of him like that.
I think that they have like a pretty easy path as a two seed. So I'm not really
Are they in the region with Houston? Region.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I think like either Houston or Marquette have a pretty clear path.
I don't know what I used to know about college basketball, but I do know the fact when I looked at the regions, like that region is doo-doo. what the hell happened with that region? Like, there's people with, like, Creighton and, like, going to this final, and I'm like, wow, like, really? That's what we're doing here?
Yeah, I have Marquette, Purdue, Iowa State, and as of right now, Clemson. And the only reason I have Clemson, I'll be honest with you, is because of Mike Randall. Mike Randall had this feeling last year about Florida Atlantic, and he just rode it all the way to the Final Four, and his feeling this year is Clemson. And I'm not really feeling the West region. Like, I don't think UNC is all that good this year. And Arizona, I'm not really really sold on them either.
I'm wearing my UNC hat, and I have UNC getting bounced in the
Mississippi third. State.
No, I can tell you right now. I did what you did. I loosely put one together. I don't like how many top seeds I have, just because like I like to look at two different things. I look at a lot of guard play, because that's what we know.
Yep.
And that's points per possession and efficiency, like just because those are the things that hold up more than everything else. And right. Unfortunately, I ended up with like a lot of seeds, but I did have where is UNC? I have UNC going down to Alabama. That's where I have them losing. So yeah. I think Alabama's a bad matchup for them. But hey, I have my UNC. If they went to the Final Four, if they just made the Final Four, that'd be fun. I'm surprised. Like, I just feel like everybody's picking UConn. Like, everybody.
And I am surprised. I saw last night on one of the shows, ESPN brackets, they had like 25% of the brackets filled out were on UConn, which is crazy because they won last year. I mean, I do believe that they're the best team. And I'm with you. I don't know as much about college basketball as I used to know, but I do know that they are the best team. But it is tough to repeat. And that that region, I mean, with Illinois and Iowa State and Auburn, I mean, it doesn't get any tougher than that. Like, the committee did not do them any favors. Usually when you are the number one team overall, you're going to have like a little bit of an easier region, like UNC's. Like, UNC's region is not great. So I feel like they're treated as like the number one overall seed. But yeah, if you're in a bracket with like 8 or 9 buddies, then go ahead. You pick UConn if you want. But if you're in a bracket with like 20, 30,000 people, you're going to have to be a little bit different.
I think a lot of people picked Duke too. Like, they were like one of the betting favorites for winning, like the longer odds to win the whole thing. Yeah. Like, a lot of people are, because Kentucky's very hot and cold. We're not spending the entire show talking about this, but I think Purdue's going to be a favorite, and I can see why. I mean, you need a team. Like, hey, look, we do know more than we think we do. But you need a team like Wisconsin, what they did. Like, you need a team that can throw bodies at them, because that dude's a monster. And, like, just,
I know.
You got to be able to throw bodies at them.
You do. I wonder how many people are actually going to pick Purdue, because they got bounced early last year. Everyone just
I have them. Broad, so I have them in that region.
I like them, too. I think
I don't think Creighton has the bodies. Like, people are like, I see a lot of Creighton, and I'm like, do they get Pat? Look, South Carolina, probably, and even if they don't face Oregon, but, like, then they probably get Tennessee, and you got to get through them, and then you got to get through, like, Creighton doesn't have an easy path. Like, Purdue doesn't have an easy path overall, if you talk about some of these upsets. I hate to tell you this. I'm probably wrong. Mike Randall's probably right, but I have Clemson losing to New Mexico.
Do you?
Like, right out the gate.
So him and Kutcher got together on Sunday night, and it was great. Kutcher is one of our college guys, too. And they battled back and forth about Clemson and New Mexico. One guy in Kutcher liked New Mexico, and Randall liked Clemson. But what they came together at the end were like, whoever wins that game is going on a run. So if we can figure out who wins that matchup, then they're both.
Oh, do you want to know my run? I do have a run. I'll give you a big hint. He usually likes Toronto teams, and then every time he picks a team and bets on them, they end up losing, and he's a curse.
Oh, is it Tim?
No. The artist, Drake. I have Drake going on a run. Drake going to UConn. I got Drake running through to UConn. That's my big run. There you go. Hate the Drake. Yeah. All right. And as we get into football, one more thing. As I said, Blake Snell has to hate his agent. But hey, if you care about baseball, he's headed to San Francisco. I mean, great landing spot for him. Terrible contract. I said this to Nicole last night, meaning, by the way, did you ever heart or 1 year anniversary? Like, your future wife did, but like, I don't know that you did. And I don't know how I feel about that.
I liked one of your photos, one or two.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Finally. Yeah. Oh, finally. Yeah. I was like,
happy
belated
anniversary. No, I saw a nice, a video, and you put together a nice little message on IG.
So yeah. Unfortunately, 9 hours out of our year. So we ended up doing like an anniversary weekend because she's coaching soccer. And of course, their first away game of the season was last night, an hour and a half north on the Eastern Shore, for anybody that knows Virginia area, in this school called Nandua, which is a bunch of like big girl, like legit concussion on Nicole's team, multiple knocked overs, shoulder checks, bruises, like one of those teams, one of those soccer teams, like yellow cards and stuff like that. Yeah, nasty team. But anyway, of course, the first road game was that, so she was gone for 9 hours on it. But anyway, so weekend. But anyway, I said after that, tell me I'm wrong. I said, if he would have 4 weeks, 5 weeks, the first week of free agency, just said, somebody give me 5 years, $150 million, that's it. I don't know, I said, like, that's it. But 5 years, $150 million, he would have signed.
Yeah, absolutely. And Jordan Montgomery's still out there. So Scott Boras, I mean, I don't know. He's always trying to squeak the most money he can. And I don't know, maybe it backfired here. And Blake Snell's a guy, too, who, I don't know, last time he won the Cy Young, the next year was awful for him. He walks a lot of guys. He's had some injuries. It's probably a good thing on the Giants' standpoint that it's only a 2 year and there's an opt-out. But Blake Snell's
great for them.
Some money. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk actual football. So everybody who tuned in, I'm sorry, you probably already tuned out. You're not even going to be here for football. 9 minutes in, we're finally getting to football.
I'll timestamp it.
Yeah, that's what we get. Timestamp. I'll put it out when I tweet it. It's like, hey, just skip into 9 minutes. Oh, look, Mr. Nice Guy wants to know how I feel about TCU. I don't even know if I had TCU win a game. That's how much I paid attention to TCU. You're asking the wrong person. FDN, full bets. The Athletic, we have it as well, too. Brad Evans, actually, guest brought in to do some college basketball for the tournament over at the Athletic too. Nice. So a lot, like both sites will have you covered. Everything you want. Absolutely. So you can overthink the living hell out of it. And then watch all your picks go out the window when you could have just coin flip for your best one. But Where do you want to start? Do you want to start with the big quarterback move, or do you want to start with the big, and I do mean that both in relative and actual terms, at running back, big move that we didn't have last week when we were doing this show?
Yeah, let's go big.
The run back? Let's do the running back. See, you didn't know which way it was going to go. But like, I actually like this. I do want to start with Derrick Henry because we didn't have Derrick Henry news at the time of last week, but he went where everybody expected him to go, is the Ravens. It was almost one of those kind of situations with Barkley and the Eagles, but even more so. Like, there was the whole rumors that, oh, there was tampering with Kirk Cousins and the Falcons and Barkley and the Eagles, and nothing ever looked like it came of those. But for all intents and purposes, I mean, it's like, was the public tampering? Because we all had Henry going to the Ravens. And then it happened. 2-year deal, essentially another 1-year deal, just like a lot of the running backs. But he's going to a team where, I mean, Meanie, if I said this time next year, Derrick Henry rushed for 20 touchdowns, you wouldn't be like, oh my God, I didn't see that coming. You'd be like, huh, okay, yeah. I could actually see it. I mean, we have Gus Edwards didn't even have 200 carries, and he got 13 rushing touchdowns last year, Chris Meanie. I say all of this to start up with this conversation and say, Derrick Henry, top 5? Top 10? I know he's at least top 10.
It's definitely top 10.
Can he push the top 5? Is he back to potentially being top 5?
If we're talking half point setting here, yeah, I believe so. I could make a case for him at 3 or 4. You know, CMC is still 2. I still think I like 2 Saquon because of, CMC's 1, sorry.
what did I miss?
Whoa. Saquon's 1. No, CMC's 1. I could make a case for Saquon at 2. I mean, we did talk about him last week in the best situation that a running back. I mean, it's one of the easiest jobs in football behind the Philadelphia Eagles offensive line. But this job here is probably the right there, like 1B maybe, the second best job. I mean, it's the Ravens. They run the ball better than anyone. They want to run the ball. They're using our pace tools in a neutral situation within 8 points. They had like a 55, 56% run percentage, which was number 1. And you just mentioned Gus Edwards. With no disrespect to Gus Edwards, but that guy was able to rack up as many touchdowns as he did, and in short yardage
situations. No disrespect, but you just called them that guy.
Well, let's be honest.
I know. It just sounded funny. It's like, no disrespect, but that guy.
Yeah, Mark Ingram a couple years ago inside this offense too.
Mark Ingram was top 10.
He was. And Henry's not going to catch any passes. It's just not going to happen. And he was starting to catch a little bit before the addition of Tajay Spears last year. But also, how many times did we see, you know, the Ravens, or the Titans rather, bad offensive line, bad team, down at half, Tajay's getting on the field, not getting as many touches. Like, I just feel like the Ravens are up. They're going to be up in a lot of football games. They're going to lean on this guy. He still has a lot to offer. So, yeah, 20 touchdowns, it's basically, what, 1.2 per game, just under that. And Lamar doesn't remind me of Jalen Hurts and Josh Allen. Like, they're just going to give him the ball.
He ran for 5 touchdowns, that's 5.
You now have the king that can get in inside the 5. So, man, yeah, 20's I'm going to take the over on whatever the number is.
Fifth. That's how many he had last year. Lamar Jackson, the full season. Yeah. Like, and that was true. Like, and we talked about it on the show last week, and I brought up the number. What was it? 383 running back touches or carries? Just carries. Just carries in the backfield. It might be 363. I know it's 3-something-3. It was a big number, giant number. Hell, 300 would be, like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So the one thing I can kind of think, it might be a very short one, Chris, but we can kind of figure out if Derrick Henry
is a way.
There's a way.
What can we do? What can we do?
We can make a list! Super short. Super short list. Nice. So, Christian McCaffrey. Boom. Yeah. Then, Breece Hall? Yes or no? They got a new offensive lineman. They're paying attention
to
it.
Yeah, that does big help. One. I'll
one
say...
the Cowboy greats.
You know what? I'm not going to... No, I'm not going to have Breece at 2.
Really? Oh, no. It doesn't have to have 2. I just Breece Hall over Derrick Henry.
Yeah, I'll say yes. I think that the catches is going to be an outlier, but...
Oh, I agree with you on that.
Catches are significant. He probably gets 50-plus, and Henry's not going to do that. So I'll say, Breece over him. Sure.
But Breece Hall, by the way, right there in line with Kyren Williams and Christian McCaffrey and almost points per game towards that back half stretch when he was finally unlocked and healthy. Like, because he was healthy, but then he still wasn't unlocked. And then they finally was unlocked. And even with the Zach Wilson quarterbacks, I'm with you. I would take Breece Hall. Bijan with Kirk Cousins.
I would not, but I mean, this is... I'm excited about the running backs this year.
Like, wait, you would not take Bijan, or you would take Bijan?
I wouldn't take Bijan. I think I would take
Really?
Bijan. Yeah.
Make the case, because I would with Kirk Cousins and no Arthur Smith. I mean, those two factors right there. Are you that worried that Tyler Allgeier is just too good that he siphons off? Like, is that No. It's not tongue in cheek. It's like, go back to, like, we know now that AJ Dillon is not the answer if anything were to happen to Aaron Jones. And Aaron Jones is now gone, and they brought back A.J. Dillon. But point being, I'm bringing that up to say this. Like A.J. Dillon's good years, that Aaron Jones didn't hit top five. He hit top 10 because A.J. Dillon shared too much. Do you think that's where you're going with this? I'm trying to figure out, because I would take Bijan Robinson.
It's the same tier. Like, all these guys are going to be in the same tier for me that you mentioned, like Saquon and Gibbs and Kyron and Jonathan Taylor. They're all going to be in the same tier. I think I just lean with the team that runs the ball better than the other team, Baltimore versus Atlanta. More passing. It's not going to be, you mentioned it, Arthur Smith's gone. It's not going to be running the football 45 times a game. Like, they paid Kirk Cousins $180 million coming off a ruptured Achilles, and they grabbed Darnell Mooney as well. They're probably going to draft a wide receiver. It's going to be a little bit more of a pass-happy offense, I think. If it's full point PPR, I would lean with these pass catching running backs, but I'd say Henry is, what you said earlier, Henry's probably going to get 20 touchdowns, and he's going to get 20 targets plus carries a game. Yeah.
100 targets for the running backs in the backfield of the Vikings.
Oh, Bijan's going to be stuck. This is not against, I think it's warranted that he should go in the first round this year compared to last year.
Okay. So we're at 2.5 because we have a disagreement. How about, before this landing spot, we both already said no on Gibbs. So for everybody out there, we kind of talked about other things. Saquon Barkley with your Eagles, 100%.
But I would rather him.
The biggest disrespect that continues to happen right now is Kyron Williams, who continues to slide down. Would you take Kyron Williams or would you take Derrick Henry?
I would take Henry.
Really?
Yeah. Kyron's going to get disrespected.
I'm going to have so much Kyron Williams, apparently. I'm just going to be gobbling him up in the second round.
He's going to go as RB8 or 9, and he's going to go in the second. You're going to be able to pair him up with an elite wide receiver. That's how I feel drafts are going to go.
Kyron Williams, towards the end of the season, I think it was the last 6 or 7 weeks, a 0.1, so it's very slim, but 0.1 ahead of Christian McCaffrey. He was averaging more fantasy points per game because he was averaging about 27 touches a game. Now, I will agree with one thing. 27 touches a game, 20 touches a game. Kyron Williams is not going to make it through the entire season. I understand that. And of course, we could see what happens in the draft if they draft somebody again, and then all of a sudden Sean McVay talks him up for 15 weeks and heading into the As of today, I think Kyron Williams is the biggest disrespect. I would still take Kyron Williams over Derrick Henry, but I think I'm with you in the biggest factor. The biggest takeaway here is this is going to be end up a giant tier. All right. A few more. Jonathan Taylor or Derrick Henry?
Oh, man.
Taylor has no Zach Moss anymore, which is crazy to say. But the fact is, when Jonathan Taylor had the backfield 80%, he was the top three running back everybody wanted him to be.
I know. And I think he's going to offer more as a pass catching running back. I don't think it's going to be like his sophomore campaign. I wonder how many dump offs he's going to get from Anthony Richardson, but the play calling from Steve Steichen is just, it's so good.
Which is why I go Taylor, because what's the big difference between Taylor and Henry in their scenarios with their offensive styles, with their quarterback styles, is not much. So where do you go for the second level? What you just brought up, the play calling, the pass catching. And I think Taylor gets that edge. Although I mean, let's be honest about it. Taylor getting 40 receptions, maybe even 50 versus 15 for Derrick Henry would be offset by 3 extra touchdowns like that. So, I mean,
yeah, that's a good point. Like, I think that's a really fair projection, 45 to 50, up to 15. But again, better offense in Baltimore, probably more touchdowns. But I'll lean with Taylor. He's still a little bit younger.
That's close.
Yeah, he's
got and then nobody else. Jacob Snedden's back with their back in a good spot.
No,
back to AJ Dillon.
We talked Breece, we talked Gibbs, we talked Bijan. Those are the three, right?
ETN,
ETN gets bumped down. HN gets bumped down. Pacheco, Rashad White. Man, running backs are appealing. Eckler's in the low
like
end.
Mayo said, the one thing I know is I don't need to take Eckler as the third running back off the board this year.
Nobody does. Man, he was going sometimes as the second running back off the board. He just came off
being the number two running back.
When Henry signed, I jumped into a best ball just to kind of see it shape out. And Kyren was an end of the second round pick. He was like RB9 or 10.
I'm going to so much Kyren. I know. Good friend, Joey Wright. Mr. Nice Guy and Joey Wright in the video with us. I'm gonna have to dig through the buried Funkos and see maybe if I can find one for Joey. I don't have any that are actually like plays, like musicals or anything like that. But maybe I can find something that's close. I don't know. He's a big musical.
Joey went with and he said, "Forgot about Breece." His next card. Forgot.
But
about
we wouldn't Breece. Do. We wouldn't take Gibbs. We would take both of us would take Henry over Gibbs.
All these guys basically have the back of themselves. But Gibbs.
It's a tier. It's a huge tier. That's
it's
the thing.
It's a big tier. It's unlike anything I really remember. At the running
I shanked a lot of people in prison tier. It's a, like...
Watching Prison Break lately?
No, I missed that show. That went downhill real quick. That was like, hey, we're a successful show.
First season
was
awesome. Second season, not so much.
And then there's basically like, we have this great idea. Oh, it's doing really well. They want more seasons. Like, what do we do with this?
Put Schofield on another random prison and let's see if we can break out of that one.
It's like they would make a show based on like Lazarus and then he's like resurrected at the end of the first season. And they're like, it's so good. We need more seasons. Like, that's kind of the story.
That's it. This is done. I remember when they're like that, you know, this is what we had, and that's what we're gonna do, and we're gonna finish up. I think Lost like had a plan originally like that too. We had three seasons, and then we're gonna end it, and then everybody loved it, so they just kept going, and the last two seasons were.
You know what the worst one about that is? It had three seasons. It stuck to the three seasons, and it's done. Possible spinoffs as expected. Ted Lasso. Like, I understand. Full arc, you're done, but man, like that show should. I wish that could keep going. Nicole's so upset about that one. It was one of the best ever.
Suck girl. Yeah, it's good.
So, two more running back things that we didn't have as of last week. Joe Mixon traded to my Super Bowl winning Houston Texans of 2024-25. So, Joe Mixon to the Texans. Look, jokes aside, Joe Mixon. On a great offense of the Bengals. He's on another great offense, assuming they don't take a massive step back in year two of CJ Stroud. But we know he's been volume dependent. Good thing here is he's in a scenario that no Devin Singletary, he should be again. But how quickly are we just writing off Damian Pierce from being any factor at all? And so the fact is, what if he only has 240 touches and Joe Mixon is not? Is Joe Mixon a trap as an RB1? Let me put it that way.
I think is a bit much. I wouldn't be drafting. I wouldn't feel great about him being my RB1. I suppose, you know, you could start your draft wide receiver and then have Mixon, and maybe that's something that you like. And in the past, that's kind of a strategy that I do like, the hero RB, but I think he's a little bit older. He hasn't been super efficient. I think he's fine as like maybe a high end RB2. Like, he's going to catch a lot of passes out of the backfield. You mentioned the offense. It's just like a massive step. I expect it to be good again with Stroud in year two. But I don't know. I think he's going to be very similar back. What you saw over the past couple of years is what you're going to get. And I think Pierce is unfortunately, I think he is an afterthought, man. Like, this guy lost his job till Singletary. He played five snaps, I think, in the playoffs. Five. So I don't. And then they go make this move for Mixon. Yeah, I don't think Pierce is in a good situation, unfortunately.
Me neither. So Joe Mixon or Rashad White with Baker and Mike Evans back.
Give me White. Yeah, everyone, the band's back together. The efficiency, I think they've been the worst team running the football over the last 2 years. But he caught a lot of passes. He got all of the touches. As long as they don't do anything in the draft, I'm going to go Rashad White.
We're not downgrading them because of their jerseys, Jay, although that is a really good point. I can't really even mess with Barkley's jersey behind me to like, I can't even turn it green. Like, I was hoping he was going to go to the Texans. Like, I can't do anything with this. Would you take Here's one
thought before you get going. Is Houston just going to remain a pass happy? Because they were pass happy too. Like, I can't imagine them running the football like top 10, top 12. Like, they're going to be.
No, I can see the mid pack.
Maybe middle of the pack or up at the top 10, probably.
But I think that's, you could also see middle of the pack where they end up running more by default because the offense runs even more plays.
Yeah. So they score more points. They move the ball more. Yeah.
Yeah. Would you go your boy Isaiah Pacheco or Joe Mixon?
I'll go Pacheco. Yeah. As of right now, he's the only back on the squad, right? CEH and McKinnon are UFAs.
Yeah. Yep. Look at you. UFAs, all these acronyms over here.
I studied the list so much. I'm waiting for McKinnon to go somewhere as a pass catching back.
Wait. You studied the list. There you go.
Nice. Well said.
How about Ken Walker with Geno Smith and Sam Howell, who we're going to talk about? Like, there's a couple names that they kind of like touched in here that, like, man, I want to talk about that. Actually, real quick, to go back to Indianapolis, is Joe Flacco the weirdest one?
Like, yes.
I'm just going to go right into it. You know what? Answer the Kenneth Walker thing first as we're doing this. Kenneth Walker or Joe Mixon? I'm actually taking Joe Mixon.
Yeah, I think the offense is just more exciting.
Split work versus the work, I know. One more. Joe Mixon or James Cook? I'm actually still taking Joe Mixon.
Yeah, I'll go. I'm going to lean Mixon too. Cook is the same tier for me, but
I will have zero of James Cook I'm expecting in this year.
It's just because Josh, I think it's Allen thing, man.
And that's the thing. I think everybody's going to be excited about what happened, just like everybody was excited what happened with Devin Singletary 3 years ago now. And everybody's going to be like, oh, like, this is what could happen.
It was like two or three games of excitement with Cook. Like, great. But this is you're going to tell me he's going to touch the ball 20 times? Awesome.
No.
How many red zone rushing attempts is he going to have?
Even if he had 20, I was going to say, even with the 20, he'd still probably only have like one a game. So
one or two and some random catch.
Sorry, eyes are itchy. These allergies, holy crap, the pollen, stupid 80-degree weather popping up in the early, middle arch. And like, oh, it's been killing me. You can probably see my face is a little bit red. All right, so to go back to this whole thing. So when the trade of Howell happened and the signing that they made, I was like, well, they're taking Jaden Daniels. And everybody's like, yeah, like, and I'm, to be fair, I said Jaden Daniels since February,
the Mariota
January.
One. You mean Mariota?
Yeah, because Mariota. Well, no, because that's where I'm going with that. It's because the Howell trade and the signing of Mariota. Yeah. So it, like, you could say a confirmation bias in the fact that I think Jaden Daniels is the second quarterback off the board, but it's something I talked about during that time, and you'll see this mimicked in a lot of teams, is their backup mimics what the lead does, because if something were to happen, you don't want to have to change your offense. Now, things will change. Like, when the Bears drafted Justin Fields, as we saw with Nagy at the time, did not adjust the offense when Fields had to come in, but that's right. Different. They drafted. It's like, so again, now Jaden Daniels could get drafted to a different team, and maybe this is what they're happening. Maybe they're going to be like, haha, surprise, we're drafting Drake May, even though we just did. But the setup feels like that. I'm saying all that to say is, like, I'm not even talking about the Jaden Daniels situation. I'm talking about the Joe Flacco backing up Anthony Richardson makes zero sense to me. Like, I'm excited for Joe Flacco. I figured he was probably going to go back to the Browns. That didn't happen. Yeah. They actually now have 15 backups for some reason.
Yeah.
But the Joe Flacco to back up Anthony, like, Anthony Richardson's a huge injury risk. You know, you might need Joe Flacco for at least one game. Joe Flacco is not running the Anthony Richardson offense.
So we know RPOs in that offense when he comes in. No, no, I agree. I don't know. I think Steichen, I mean, I'm sure he would have wanted to bring back Gardner Minshew, who he had in Philly under Jalen Hurts behind him, and then last year, and he stepped in pretty decently for Anthony Richardson. He's kind of the same in terms of being a statue. It's like, there's no RPOs. There's going to be no running at all in his game. So it is a bit of a weird hiring or signing, rather. But a lot of these backups, I don't know, they're. You just have to have one. You know what I mean? Like, maybe they missed out on their first couple of options and they didn't want to spend too much on a backup. But, Jake, we saw 64 different quarterbacks last year play. And that's why I was so surprised and kind of going on.
Only like half of them played for the Giants.
Half of them for the Giants. That's why I was so surprised that so many teams across the league weren't willing to give a fourth, fifth, or a sixth round pick for Justin Fields.
All right, we're getting into this. We're
doing. Well, that's – yeah, man. Like, that's why I get the Flacco thing to an extent. Like, you have to have some sort of backup here capable, but the fit does seem a little weird for sure. But you got to have a backup. And there's a lot of teams across the league that I think are snoozing.
So the Steelers not snoozing. The Steelers, I think, are having the best offseason by far. Just if nothing else for the quarterback. We already talked last week about Russell Wilson, $1.2 million. You get Russell Wilson to come in, massive upgrade over Kenny Pickett. You ship Kenny Pickett off to your Eagles. Again, not very similar stylistically. But, I mean, it could be something.
And then they got Mariota last year, who was, right? That made sense. Right? But
But, yeah, point being. And then, yes, the Fields trade. And, it's not mutually exclusive to say a lot of things with this. Actually, usually mutually exclusive is two things. You can multiple, like three, four different things in here. So the league did not value Justin Fields. Let's be honest about that. Like, there's been reports that, you know, the Bears wanted to give him an opportunity and had an offer for a better deal, but they wanted a team where he could, you know, potentially keep his career going and rebound and blah, blah, blah. No. You can say niceties after the fact, but we'll be honest, the NFL does not give two craps about another team and a player. Like, if somebody would offer them a second, they would have taken a second, even if it put him behind Patrick Mahomes. Like, if the Chiefs were like, here's a second, they would have taken it. Let's be honest. They're lying. Like, I appreciate it. And I don't know, maybe there was another offer out there. It was a straight fourth instead of a fourth. You know, conditional. Sure. I said a conditional fourth, and people came at me. It's a conditional sixth. It could turn into a fourth either way. It's conditional into a fourth. I'm sorry for into part, but anyway.
Right now it's sixth.
Yeah, if he gets 51% of the snaps, it's the fourth. I think we could have that conversation too as well. But like, the NFL doesn't like Justin Fields. Can we also say that the NFL is misvaluing these kind of quarterbacks? And I think it's clear what these kind of quarterbacks are. And whether or not you want to go down a certain road, I'm not trying to like start this whole thing, but this style of quarterback, there's been style of quarterbacks, like, let's be honest, Daniel Jones, I mean, they're not valuing him, but the Giants gave him $40 million. They're stuck with him this year because they gave him $40 million. I said this tongue in cheek, but it's true. If Justin's last name wasn't Fields, if it was Justin Darnold, if it was Justin Rosen who got traded for a second after that, he would have gotten a better offer. And I'll just say, like, the NFL doesn't believe he can pass, and there's a lot of metrics out there that back it up. You can watch him and say he misses some throws, he takes too long to make decisions, and there's a lot. There's also been promise. But what I want to say at the end of all this, whether you fall on whatever side it is, Justin Fields doesn't have the ability to play quarterback. Justin Fields does, and the NFL has a slant towards that. Whatever, I think he's been in a very bad situation. Like, situations can change players, and like, situations with wide receivers, with running backs, with defensive play. Like, we have to understand situations and the way that they're handled affect these players a lot, especially in football. I mean, like, hell, you can look at the NBA. For anybody that follows the NBA, like, watch these players and you're like, man, this guy's been a six man and all of a sudden he's exploding to, you know, all-star level because of usage and just the way that they deploy it. That really goes down to it. I don't think Justin Fields' career is over, but at the same time, as somebody who supports Justin Fields, I do believe there's concerns. If you told me in 2 years Justin Fields just done as an NFL quarterback, I'd be like, you know what? I'm not shocked. I feel bad for him. But the same thing is like with Daniel Jones. I think Daniel Jones is done after this year. If it changes, good for him. All that being said, I wanted to set all that up to get to Justin Fields with the Steelers. Do you think he takes over for Russell Wilson, whether it's day one, middle of the season, or whatever? Do you think he actually conveys to that fourth rounder for fantasy purposes? Because even if it's just 51%, that means he's playing in the middle of the season towards the end. Do you think he's still valuable in fantasy? In single quarterback, like, this is somebody you stash on the end of your bench. You're like, man, because Justin Fields has top five fantasy. Yeah. We're not talking real life. Fantasy potential, we know Justin Fields could be a miserable passer and still a top five quarterback in fantasy. Is he still in the QB1 conversation?
No. If Russ wasn't there, I would say yes, but I do think that Russ is going to open up the season as the starter. I think just experience-wise, this is a great buy low. Both quarterbacks, great buy low. But Russ had a great season last year. Let's keep in mind that he beat teams like the Packers and the Chiefs and the Bills. He didn't get benched because he was a bad quarterback. He got benched because of the contract and Sean Payton is whatever. But he played good. 26-8 touchdown interception ratio. He ran the ball. He was a decent quarterback too. like top 15-ish. But I think he's going to open up the season as a starter, and I don't think Pittsburgh needs to play Fields right away. Like, I think that this, again, good buy low. Let's open up the season with Russ. We got a good defense, made the playoffs last year. Tomlin always has winning records or 500 records. Let's see what happens. And if they win football games, he's going to continue to play, and then they can have, you know, a guy like Fields learn behind Russ, because let's be honest, Russ has a Super Bowl. He's been to a couple. He's had a great career. If he wants to take on that leadership role, and there's been a lot of talk about how he doesn't, how he's not that type of quarterback. It's me. But if he can take on a new role and then Fields can learn under him, then they can just play Fields towards the end of the season if the season is lost, or they can open up next year. I don't think it's the end of the world. I think he's a good buy low in Dynasty if you can afford it. Like, if you need a quarterback, you can go get him on the cheap. Maybe you don't get him until week 10 or not, 9 or 10. Maybe that could be a pain in your butt. But if you are rebuilding and you want some upside, like, I think he's going to be – it's not like Jones or Daniel Jones or Mac Jones and these guys are just done. I think his ceiling is still pretty high. Zach Wilson. So I think this year may be a bummer for him, but next year...
If Zach Wilson gets a third rounder, I'm going to flip some tables.
Well, listen, like, Trey Lance got a third rounder. Desmond Ritter's return was better. Kenny Pickett's return was better. I agree with you. I think the Bears kind of overplayed their... They should have traded him much earlier.
They backed themselves into a corner.
Absolutely. And if you do believe those reports, like, for example, maybe the Eagles offered a fourth or another team offered a fourth and went to Fields and said, listen, this team, Philadelphia, is offering you a third.
They're the nicest team in the history of football.
But you're going to have to sit behind Jalen Hurts until he struggles for 2 years or he gets hurt. You're not going to get an opportunity. So it's nice. Like, there's a couple things. Like, oh, great, Chicago is trying to be nice to Fields. At the same time, that seems like a mistake to me because you're an organization. This is a business. You got to take the best pick. You trade it up and you try to move all this capital.
Well, the other reason is too, is because how many times have we seen a quarterback not even touch the field and get more value when he becomes a free agent because of the unknown? Like, oh, right, maybe freaking Drew Locke got a couple million guaranteed to go back up Daniel Jones.
Right.
Playing barely playing. Like, yeah. I got more value from this contract. Like, so anyway,
anyway, I believe in Fields too. The first year with Nagy was, you can't blame him. And then the weapons, right? And now Chicago's getting all these weapons for Caleb Williams. And then I look, if Fields is the week one starter, are you excited about him in Pittsburgh with George Pickens and who else? You know what I mean? Like, Fields? It's not going to be a great situation.
DJ Moore had what?
In a better situation though. Like,
I know, but DJ Moore had what are you like?
13? Oh, Moore was great.
That's what I'm saying. Awesome. So, like, Pickens with Fields, I'm not scared at all. I'd be all over Pickens.
Like, but he's still, not in a good situation, like a run-first team with limited weapons.
Well, so yeah, that's part of it, too. We're going to have that off-season discussion about Jalen Warren, too, with, of course, that whole coaching change situation and Arthur Smith and everything. But
one more thing. If I was Chicago, I would have just held on to him because teams are going to be desperate. I said 64 quarterbacks there last year. There's going to be injuries that pop up. That's why I kind of wanted Philly to get him. It's like,
I
you know
said
what?
The exact same fourth, thing. I argued with Mayo on his show that I would have just held on. He's like, you can't.
But if Burrow goes down again week six, they need a quarterback.
And he was like, you can't go into week one with Caleb Williams and Justin Fields. I'm like, why? Why can't you?
You can. Yeah.
Like, what?
I think they should have. Why even take the sixth or fourth? I think that it doesn't even create a distraction. You just have them there and somebody would be.
I told him I wouldn't take a fourth. I said, I don't even think I would take a third. Maybe multiple thirds, but I would have held out and just held on to, like, again, they overplayed their hand. Similar to Scott Boras. So there you go. Sam Howell to the Seahawks, we talked about that. Like, I actually think that could be a change come week one. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if Howell was the week one starter. I think it is Geno to beat. But Madison to the Raiders, do you care much about that? Is there still Zamir White? Would you still call Zamir White as RB2?
Yeah, I still would call him an RB2. Okay. He wasn't good last year. I was trying to get Zamir White off somebody in Dynasty. This may help because maybe they're worried about Madison, but I wouldn't be worried about Madison. I still would
and like then to try to get Zamir. You talked about the Ritter trades. Ritter goes to back up Kyler Murray. Rondell Moore to the Falcons. Please stop people with Rondell Moore. No. Darnell Mooney went there too. It's just Drake London and Kyle Pitts. Excitement about that we already covered. Mike Williams released. Have to see where he goes. And the reason I start with Mike Williams is because also Keenan Allen traded to the Bears, which I think that was one of the biggest shockers of this entire NFL free agency. Justin Herbert's thrown to me next year as of right now. But the thing is,
do they might draft not even... a wide receiver early, or do they take O-line? Like, I don't know with Harbaugh. I don't know what he's going to do. Like, this, to me, like, if you release Mike Williams and you trade Keenan Allen, you're probably looking at, like, neighbors at five or whatever. But I don't think
they're going to trade down, honestly.
Trade back?
I think trade back, maybe even offensive line. There'll be wide receivers in round two. I mean, this is a good – this is a really good wide receiver class. I'm not the biggest Troy Franklin fan, but you could see Troy Franklin in the second round. I mean, like, let's say – but as of right now, it's Quentin Johnston and Joshua Palmer. And they're going to run the ball 50,000 times. I mean, like, this is going to be like so many runs. So I put all that out there. So, like, Justin Herbert, even a QB1? I don't even think he's a QB1 right now. Like, no.
I got
him like, that's not 18. Crazy to say, right?
Yeah, I got him at like 18 or 19. I just.
Okay.
Yeah. You go look at the last 2 years' points per game. I know you're on the same page, but.
Yeah,
well, I thought that Brock Purdy should have got drafted over Herbert last year. Right?
Jared Goff, Kirk Cousins, Stafford. Yeah. Did you take Stafford?
Yeah, with Stafford, Puka, and Kupp. Yeah,
Kyler, Brock. Would you take Lawrence or Herbert? I mean, Lawrence still has the weapons.
that's the thing. Like, I would take Lawrence.
I actually think they're very similar for fantasy purposes at this point, but one has weapons and one has 800 question marks in a first office.
They're on that tier.
Okay, here's the big one.
Look at 7 or 8, too.
Let's do it. Let's just throw it out there. Right now, as of today, we know where he's going. Caleb Williams on the Bears with Keenan Allen and DJ Moore or Justin Herbert.
I'm going to take Caleb Williams.
I think that's how.
Take Jaden Daniels. I may even take Jaden Daniels if
Jaden Daniels know, like, with the Commanders.
You know what it's going to be? It's going to be Dotson season because Jaden Daniels is going to get Dotson the ball.
We're not going to do this. I promised myself I was not going to bring up.
Oh man, Meany. I love the outlook of Jaden Daniels. He's so dynamic. What he can do with his legs, and I just think that there's no It's not on. Maybe disrespect's not the right word, but it's not. I don't think it was on Howell. I just think. New offense, everything. New quarterback, new OC. Let's fix this offense. Dotson's a good wideout.
I promised I wasn't going to bring up Dotson and get back into him.
Maybe they draft a guy, right? Curtis Samuel is gone. So they got Zach Ertz there. Maybe they draft a tight end too. But
that's actually so the reason. I can buy into Dotson a little bit is because I do actually think this is similar to Justin Fields with the Bears, is that there's going to be one, Terry McLaurin. Unless something changes, and maybe it's Dotson and McLaurin falls back. But either way, there's three scenarios here. It's all McLaurin, just like DJ Moore, and Dotson's once in a blue moon. Zach Ertz is once in a blue moon, and it's frustrating for them. The other scenario is that it evens out somehow, and then both of them are wide receiver threes, and that kind of kills McLaurin but helps Dotson. Yeah, and then the other is obviously Dotson becomes his guy, and McLaurin is just destroyed. I think the most likely is what you said, is they both fall into that wide receiver three territory. Then let's talk about this. Deontay Johnson and the other trade ends up on Carolina with Bryce Young, who also gets offensive line. Like, so there's kind of multiple layers here. I feel like this is the death knell to Adam Thielen. That was fun. Actually, it kind of already happened last year. That was fun for a while.
He slowed down.
He slowed down a lot. You want to tell me, whatever the veteran wall is, he hit that one because we talk about the rookie wall. He slammed into that veteran wall and just went. Bryce Young, I still think there's hope for. Like, people are writing him off after 1 year, but that's not what we're talking about. Deontay Johnson can be his dude, but there was concerns about Bryce Young. There's concerns about this offense. So Deontay Johnson, is this stock same, up or down with the Panthers, in your opinion?
I would say up because, like, he came from a situation which wasn't great in Pittsburgh. The quarterback play was poor there. He had to deal with other guys. I'm not.
And as bad as Young was, Thielen was a wide receiver one until like week seven.
Yeah, and he can create separation, man. A lot of guys on that team just couldn't. We talked about it all year long. There was nobody that can create separation for Bryce Young. He didn't throw the ball down the field. New offensive OC, just new offense in general. Maybe they can get somebody else in the draft as well. So, yeah, Deontay is like, I wouldn't hate it if he was my fourth wide receiver. If you can do that, if you can get him as your fourth guy, I think that's okay.
Okay. Then two more before we get out of here. I agree with you on that one, obviously, from the setup here. Patrick Mahomes has a wide receiver that can go deep again. He has Hollywood Brown. So, Hollywood Brown, first question, where would you rank him? Wide receiver twos? Threes? Where would you rank him? And then how far does Rashee Rice fall for you?
Rice does fall where he was kind of in the top 15, 17 range for me. Now he's like 20, 21. But I'm not going to get too crazy, like dropping him down significantly. Like I like the...
I think he's going to go further than that for me.
Further? I like the ceiling in the thought of Hollywood.
Like, would you take T. Higgins or Rashee Rice? I'd take T. Higgins.
Yeah, as of now on the Bengals, Joe Burrow. Yeah, I think same tier, but I'll lean...
Rice?
I would lean Rice there. Actually, what's going on in Baltimore? Like, Duvernay's gone. Not that Duvernay did anything. OBJ's gone. Like, no. It does seem like it's going to be Flowers.
Say Flowers.
Yeah.
Would you take Malik Nabers, or would you take Rashee Rice?
If Nabers is on your Giants, I would just take Rashee Rice. Oh, Nabers, he's got to get to a situation that I really like. if he's the Charger,
Pickens
if he's
or Rice? Giant. I'm taking Pickens.
Yeah.
Pickens. Until watch them draft somebody.
They probably will draft someone. Rice takes a bit of a hit here, but
that's what I'm saying. I think he's going
to
be
able to stay healthy, but he can catch.
I think Rice is going to end up in the mid 20s because you get like, so would you take straight up Rice or Hollywood Brown? I mean, because I think you're the Hollywood Brown fan like a few years ago.
I would rather Rice.
Really? Even if what if I told you Hollywood Brown plays 16 out of 17 games?
I still think I'd rather Rice. I like Rice.
I would take Hollywood Brown. I continue to bring this up.
16 game is nice. I don't know if you could do that, but if you told me that, that's...
The A dot for Rice concerns me so much. I know he does a ton after the catch. That's his style. Again, I have a Rashee Rice jersey. I love Rashee Rice, but that has to be a concern. Like, this is Julian Edelman worse. Like, right. That's how... Again,
Casey's offense has changed to your point that last year wasn't taking any deep shots. Like, you see everything on highlights, and MVS had those drops and Sky Moore and all those guys, but they actually didn't take any shots down the field. They had tons of screen passes in their game. They changed their offense. Andy Reid used to go back to DeSean Jackson days and Tyreek and a lot of deep shots down the field with certain players. Now that is back in their game, and it's very scary to think about. So I see where you're at, to see your point, especially like Rashee Rice's. It's not going to change. Like, he's going to play the role that he played last year.
Yep. So two more before we get out of here. One is, which one do I want to do? Let's do the big one. The big contract, Calvin Ridley to the Titans. They are definitely trying to help Will Levis in his second season. But would you? Here's a straight up one. Calvin Ridley or DeAndre Hopkins, straight up.
I think I'll just take Ridley. I think he'd be a little bit cheaper and a little bit younger.
I think the cheaper is definitely a part of it. I think a lot of people will lean Hopkins, especially the touchdown upside. And then, he had another top 20 season last year still at this point. So,
How about the Titans? Just I like that they're changing things. You know, it's always been
21st.
Henry, run. Now you got Hopkins, you got Ridley, you got a new OC in Callahan, who I thought did some good things with Jake Browning. So, I mean, if you're a Titans fan, you feel a little bit better about just a change of scenery kind of deal, like new offense.
So I bring this out. I'm going to do this real quick. And just like, I'm not going to pour too much because I'm just going to like make a mess. But like, I'm going to just pour out some water. There we go. I'm pouring out. I'm doing a pour out. I'm pouring out for two people. Sorry, Treylon Burks.
Oh, yeah.
And sorry, at least Treylon Burks, maybe DeAndre Hopkins retires after this year or something. Surprising. Like, maybe there's slim hope. Like, you could probably get Treylon Burks for, I was going to say a fourth in Dynasty, but even a third. I'd even pay a third. Like,
go do it. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
The other one is the hips do lie. I'm sorry, Khalil Shakir. I had a lot of hopes for Khalil Shakir, but Curtis Samuel signing is damning. Like, that's not a small contract for Curtis Samuel, nonetheless. Like, nothing against Curtis Samuel, but I don't think anybody's expecting it's not a ton, but it's significant money, significant guaranteed money. And here's the biggest thing. Oh, by the way, Joe Brady, 2020, happened to coach that dude with the Panthers and used him quite a lot. If you look back at the 2020, like, this feels like the Brian Daboll with bringing in his guys. Like, he just signed Isaiah McKenzie. McKenzie's now in the Giants. Like, these coaches go for their guys.
That's a good point.
Curtis Samuel with Brady with the Bills. That was the Shakir role. That's what we were hoping for. It is now destroyed. But is Curtis Samuel a wide receiver 3 or still just a wide receiver 4 for you with the Bills?
I think I could be talked into a three because some of the things
I think
said.
I could too.
Yeah, because the way that the offense rolled last year with Brady, they changed and then bringing in this guy, which you just a fantastic point that I didn't even really think of when the signing happened immediately. And also, like, Diggs wasn't getting as many shots down the field. Again, they changed their offense. It became a little bit more run heavy, some short yardage. And I think that's what they need to do. It's Josh Allen can certainly sling it, but let's just, you know, let's have more methodical drives. And I thought that they became more of a dangerous team down the stretch of the season, not just, you know, having Allen play hero ball. I know that he can, and he can take his shots down the field, but this is a really, really good sign. And Curtis Samuel's a really good player. And I don't know what's happening with Diggs and if they trade him or cut him. It's, I think it's like 20 plus million against the cap, so it doesn't seem like it's going to happen, but he's out there tweeting eye emojis and certain things. Like, it just doesn't seem like a good relationship right now. It's tough on Shakir, I agree. But Curtis Samuel, especially in a PPR setting, man, and he could score a lot of touchdowns for them inside the red zone. That's a really, really good signing by Buffalo.
I think so as well. It's a really, really good idea to follow Chris Meany at Chris Meany. Why the hell is this power block for my trip taking 800? Like, you ever notice, like, the last little dot? Like, never, like, it's like the first three dots for your power block, and it's like charged. And the last one, this thing's been charging for like the last 8 hours because I charged it like six yesterday, and still the last dot's still blinking. Just finish. Anyway,
just finished already.
Yeah, we just finished the show. It went a little bit longer than I expected. I thought this was going to be more of a quick hitter, but we'll be back to our Wednesday show. Back next week at 10 a.m. like normal. A lot of things kind of happened in the past 2 weeks. So we'll be back at Chris Meany. Hockey stuff still going on. NCAA tournament. All that kind of stuff. You can check out at FTN and over at The Athletic too. And updated dynasty ranks and regular season ranks. And fantasy baseball. All this stuff. Yeah. Yay.
It's all happening.
Blake Snell. Get rid of Scott Boras. Yay.